Isaiah 51:6 begins saying, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath." Among the evidences for God mentioned in the previous 55 devotionals for evidence for God, we discussed cosmology, or the study of the universe, but only in the sense of the wider universe. We've also discussed various scientific facts found right here on planet Earth, and we have much more to say about each of those things. But for the next few devotionals, I want to focus on our solar system, which includes the Sun and the eight planets, minus Pluto, who was removed from planetary status and is now referred to as a dwarf planet. Those eight planets working out from the Sun include Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. Our solar system is just one system among more than 3,200 such systems in the Milky Way galaxy, where planets orbit around a main star. And when we look at the size of the rest of the universe, including more than 80 galaxies in what scientists call our local group, being part of a larger Virgo supercluster of more than 100 galaxy groups, and then you consider that our Virgo supercluster is only one of 10 million such superclusters, making up a universe with an estimated 2 trillion galaxies, it can be a bit overwhelming trying to take it all in, to say the least. But when we look at our own solar system, and we don't get lost in the vastness of the possible hundreds of trillions of solar systems of various sizes, we see the evidence for God. And that is contrary to what most astronomy texts and documentaries present to us. So it's important to note that a big problem with modern astronomy is that it is controlled by a cultic system that ignores any evidence that contradicts its own claims and its own conclusions of the evidence as it stands. So let's start with the Sun. The story taught by mainstream astronomers is that about 4 billion years ago, a massive cloud of space gas gathered and fell in on itself and formed our Sun, with the dust surrounding that big ball of gas gathering into clusters that eventually formed planets. We'll come back to the planets next time, but that story about the Sun is absurd. There's no scientific explanation for a huge amount of gas collapsing on itself in order to form a star that contains just the right amount of hydrogen and just the right amount of plasma, held together by massive amounts of gravity and burning at just the right temperature, which is around 27 million degrees Fahrenheit at its core and 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on its surface, with the resulting collision of hydrogen atoms forming helium, while the continual nuclear fusion at the core of the Sun causes it to remain just the right temperature to allow life on planet Earth. And here's the thing. If the Sun were just a little cooler or a little hotter, it would be the end of life on Earth. When we look at the fact that there is only one known planet capable of hosting life, and only one planet with life on it, it's called Earth. And we look at the huge number of variables that have to all be perfectly in place in order for life to exist on planet Earth. And we look at this amazing star that we call the Sun, providing just the right amount of heat to our planet, which sits at just the right distance with the perfectly balanced system of magnetic fields that produce a magnetosphere that perfectly and precisely protects the Earth from the Sun's harmful particle radiation. We see evidence for God. Not that this alone should be the basis for such a conclusion. But when you add the reality of the Sun to the endless numbers of precise variables, you either have to believe it was one big cosmic accident, or you believe in a creator God. The best explanation for the evidence is the existence of God, and we'll continue to explain why the only such God is found in the God of the Bible, who came as our Savior, the Savior of the world, in the person of Jesus Christ, to shed his blood and die on a cross to save sinners.